The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ in community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Some months ago, I had the opportunity to go to a nursing home. Not months ago, years ago, sorry. And there's an older woman in our church that hadn't been there for a while. Her husband had not, he wasn't much of a talker. You know the type. He would sit in the row of the church. He would just be there. Even at her funeral years later, I remember being there, and he was just very stoic. And honestly, a great guy. When you get to know him, an amazing guy. But just that's just who he was. He comes from that generation. I remember just being curious, because I'm always that curious person, trying to figure out, like, where is this woman? I haven't seen her. She's always the one. She's one of the library ladies. If you've ever been in a church with a church library, they're the ladies that run things, but nobody knows they run everything, right? And she's one of those ladies, and she was just missing. And so I started asking around. I found out from the library lady she was in the hospital. So I started, we have two hospitals, so I went to both of them. I asked for her. I went to one, and I got there apparently the day after she had been transferred up to Mizzou. And so when I found out where she was, I went up to Mizzou, much larger hospital, and I asked around there, finally got there, got my credentials in there, so I was able to go to her room. I walked into her room, and the first thing she says, "You're here. I'm so glad to see you." Like she was expecting me. I don't know if she actually ever expected me or anything, but she was just so happy. And then she said, "I'm so glad you came." Now, if you don't know, in pastoral life, our job when we do hospital visits, we actually do have a protocol, how long we can stay, how long we can be there, all kinds of stuff. We even work with the hospital so we don't overwork the patient, all that fun stuff. There's lots of different things. But I ended up sitting with her for basically the afternoon and just talking and just having conversation with her. And it's funny because this thing she said, again, I was a young minister, new in the church. She barely knew me. But for her to look at me and say, "I'm glad you came," meant so much to me, probably even more than it meant to her for me coming. I think of the same way when I think of Christmas Eve, when I look at Jesus. Because when we talk about God being with us, I always kind of reflect, man, how happy I am that he came. It's a celebration of joy, Christmas Eve is, and Christmas is. And this time is about arrival of a friend, of our Savior, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. You heard it again expressed in the reading that we read a little bit tonight, but the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen and been told of them. They were so glad he was there. The angel appeared with good news. They went immediately to Bethlehem. They got up, they stamped out the fire, I love the way the book put it, and they ran into Bethlehem to find Jesus. Why? Because they were so excited that he came. Their Messiah, the world would never be the same again. Hope was born anew. Salvation had come as promised by the prophets of old. Mind you, at this point, God had effectively been silent for 400 years. That's older, I mean, basically the age of America. Like it was just old, double the age of America. It was old. He hadn't talked in 400 years, no new scriptures, no new prophets, nothing. But they knew and they had passed down and they said, "This guy is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming." And when they knew that he was here, they ran to him. Mary pondered with all in her heart. But the shepherds were overwhelmed by the message and the music of the heavenly host. You notice that. It wasn't just the message. It was the music, too. They heard the music, and they said, "We're in. Let's go find him." And they ran to see Jesus face to face. They wanted to see him face to face. You ever seen a baby face to face? Like newborn? Day two. One thing they don't have is object permanence, right? They have no idea if you're there, if you're going to be back again. They no idea. They don't care. Two, somewhere in the first year, they discover their feet. It's one of the most hilarious days ever. If you've never been around a baby when they discover their feet, they're poking their eye, they're stabbing themselves. It's great. Three, they all come out like Wolverine, right? They all have nails for no obvious reason, right? But when they finally go to sleep, because they're like balls of energy, when they finally go to sleep, it's one of the most peaceful and beautiful things you'll ever see. I remember the first time our oldest went to sleep by herself in another room. I'll admit it as a daddy. I went into the room. She was asleep and she wasn't moving. She wasn't screaming. She wasn't crying, any of those things. And I put a mirror under her nose just to make sure she was still breathing because she was so still. And I was so scared because I was in charge of this little human and I knew I was going to mess it up. And I did, right? There are hours with each of my children. I remember just staring at them. One, because they're finally asleep. But two, just how beautiful they are. How amazing they are. Thinking of like what they're going to do with their world and what God's going to use them for. And I know all you guys that are young that don't have children yet, you're like, oh yeah, whatever. Like seriously, it was just amazing to go, this is amazing. And that's what I believe the shepherds did with Jesus when they saw him face to face. This is my Messiah. This is the one God sent to save me. Wow. Wow. They were just too happy, too excited. They probably left there and lost their mind and went out and told everybody. And then there's this guy named Simeon. We're going to talk about him next week. Simeon, described as a righteous and devout man looking for consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And Simeon, he was in the temple. So 8 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, again, new parents. You guys remember leaving the hospital? I drove like 35 miles per hour. I in my head, probably cursed out everybody that sped past me, right? In the 6 minute drive back to our apartment. Okay. And I'm sitting here driving and trying to be as careful as I possibly can. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph on day 8, take their baby to the temple so they can announce his name to the priest. They can get his name on record and they can circumcise him. That's what happens on day 8 in Jewish culture. So they walk in on day 8. And this old dude that's been in the temple snatches Jesus out of his hand, lifts him up like Simba, right? He lifts him up in the air and goes, this is Jesus. And everybody's like, Simeon, can you give him back to Mary and Joseph, please? Because he's fresh out. He's newborn. Can you give him back? Right? Like I'm sure that was the conversation. And he's just like, I can die now. I've seen my Messiah. And people were like, Simeon's always been a little bit crazy. He'll give him back in a second. Like, you know, I'm sure conversation's weird. This old dude just snatched my baby, said his name, like he's Rafiki, right? And then everybody's going, what is going on in here, right? But Simeon, this righteous and devout man who had the Holy Spirit on him, was told by God that he wouldn't die until he saw his Messiah. And that day he saw his Messiah and was so excited that he took him out of the arms and he let everybody know. He said, God, let me depart. He goes, let me die. I can go home now. I can be the presence and the light of all the people with your glory, like the shepherds. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew the power of God in his life. He knew that a savior of the world had come into the hearts. It was far greater than the message that he spoke of gladness. Simeon effectively said, like that woman said to me in the hospital, man, Jesus, I'm really glad to see you. I'm really glad to see you. In the following verse, if you keep going, there's this prophetess named Anna. She's 84. She never left the temple. She literally just marinated in the temple constantly. She never left it. And seeing baby Jesus. So again, Mary and Joseph are trying to get to the priest to name their baby. That is their job for day 8. That's what they're trying to do. Already old man accosted them. And now an 84-year-old woman's running up on them, right? And she saw baby Jesus. She gave thanks to God. She spoke about him and she spoke about him looking towards the redemption of Jerusalem. But of course, there are those that weren't glad. They weren't glad about the heavenly kingdom have come. I mean, we've read the book. We know Herod was jealous. We know he tried to trick the wise men into telling him all the different information. We know that he gave kill orders to kill all the children. And later when Jesus has grown and fulfilled his divine mission, we know the high priest, the Sanhedrin, all the different lawyers, the pastors, all the people back there, not all of them were on his side. There were such extreme reactions of great joy. And on the other hand, there is hatred. And that can cause you to consider, where do you stand on this special night in regards to Jesus, who has come and is coming again? We live in a world where so many people don't want to live, be intolerant, or be seen as narrow-minded. They're either hot or cold about Jesus. And whatever you want to believe is your belief. They'll say, yeah, whatever you need, whatever you think. I hear people all the time, I've talked to people all the time, that say, don't we all pray to the same God? Isn't it all okay? Why would I be any happier with Jesus than Muhammad or Buddha or the Force off of Star Wars? Like, you know, all of these are just fine. They're the same, aren't they? All religions are equal. Then there's no Jesus. There's no need. If they're all religions are equal, there's no need for Jesus to have come. There's no need to celebrate this at all. There's no need to put up the tree and the present. None of that is needed. We don't need, because there's plenty of religions around and plenty of religions after Jesus was born. If you remember in your Bibles, Paul, he was in Athens. He comes across all the different gods. And there's an altar to an unknown god. Just in case they miss one. They literally had like thousands of altars. Then they had this one over here, just unknown god. In case you miss one, that one too. Etc. That's what I call them, the god of etc. And Paul said to the Athenians, he said this, let me tell you about this unknown God. His name is Jesus. He's the one and only God. And if all religions were the same or equal value, if everyone was praising the same God, then why was Paul wasting his time preaching all over the known world that Jesus Christ is the Savior, not a, the Savior of the world? Who died on the cross for your sin, arose from death. He's the King of the kings. He's the Lord of all lords. Why would Jesus have even been bothered to come and make such a statement? Why would he say, I am the way and the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Don't be deceived. Not at the end of 2024, not moving into 2025. Please don't be deceived. Paul's culture is no different than our culture today. Paul's culture is no different than our culture today. We're not all praying to the same God. Luke Skywalker has nothing on Jesus. When it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God Almighty himself, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, three in one, are found in the one true God. That's it. And he will not tolerate sin, especially sin chasing after cultures created after other gods. And for some of us, let's be honest, our God isn't some statue. Sometimes our God is a thing in our life. Sometimes it's a person. Adam and Eve found that out in Genesis chapter 3. Sometimes it's a possession. Sometimes it's our money or our job, whatever it may be. Jesus asks you to put it down. He came into this world to give you himself. There's this old hymn that says, from the Psalms, that says this, for alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. Psalm 62. The wait is over. You don't have to wait anymore. The Savior is here, and boy, I am glad he has come. Boy, I'm glad he's come. So when you wake up in the morning and maybe you've already started opening your presents, when you get in your presents or you get around your family or you do whatever tradition that you have to do, don't forget to be excited like the shepherds, to be excited like Simeon, to be excited like Anna, that he has come. The one who takes away all your sin and washes you clean by bloodshed on the cross. The one who saves me and saves you from the clutches of evil. The one who is like a wolf, goes to and fro, keeping us from that who would devour us and take us away. When the last light goes out and only darkness covers the land, darkness is as light as the light of my Savior. For he is the light of the world. And in him there is no darkness at all. He brings light into the world. And even in death, my hope doesn't falter. Even in death, my hope does not falter. Because my promise in him is that he's prepared an eternal home for me. That I could stand with him in heaven. And listen, if you're sitting here tonight and maybe in your heart of hearts, you're like, I don't know that. I don't have that confidence. All you have to do right now is ask God to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you and bring you into his family. What I didn't know sitting in that hospital room is that woman only had probably about a week left to live. She'd been very, very sick. I learned a lot about her. I learned about her being at that church since basically the beginning, her helping build up the library. I learned about her and her husband. I learned about all kinds of things. People in hospitals tend to be talkative. And we talked a lot. And she started getting tired. And I said, well, I'm going to make my way out. It's time to go anyway. It's about time for you to turn off the lights. They're very unsubtle in hospitals. They just kind of shut stuff off and expect you to leave. So I got the hint. I was leaving out and I was walking out. And she goes, hey, I just want to say something, young man. She always called me young man. Young man. Yes, ma'am. What would you like to tell me? She goes, I really am glad you came. Thank you. You made my day. So last time we spoke, I didn't see her again before she passed. I got to see her, actually the funeral home. I got to see her with her husband. I remember talking to him as a deacon years later and going, brother, tell me about your feelings in that, because I was going through my mom passing and struggling through it. We just had a conversation. I used to go to prayer meeting with them early in the morning. He said, well, I never really got emotional on the whole subject because my hope was set that we'll see each other again. I get to see her in heaven again. She's not in pain. She's not suffering. I don't have to worry about her. I know where she is. It was a confidence that he walked in that caused him not to fret and caused him not to flip out, caused him not to do all the things. And I just said, wow, how amazing. They had been married, I don't know how many years, but how amazing it is to have that confidence and to walk in that. To know Christ well enough, to have confidence in him so much that you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you'll be with him. Do you have that? I don't want you to walk out of this Christmas without opening that gift first. Opening the gift of salvation in him. I want you to be like the shepherds, that when you hear about your Messiah, you're excited to go see him. I don't want you to snatch any babies out of anybody's hands, but I want you to be excited like Simeon, who to be called in this next year devout and righteous. Because what a great way to describe you as a person, somebody to call you devout and righteous. Or to know you so well that they know that you're always in the temple like Anna. I am really glad you came. Lord Jesus, I'm really glad you came. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you that you are God with us. That you come. That you are alongside us. And Jesus, there are so many times where even in this next year, it is hard for us. We're not sure exactly how this is all going to work. God, I just ask that you help every one of us, every single one of us, to run to you and be glad that you are here with us. Thank you, Jesus, because you give us the opportunity to love you and to follow you. Help me in this new year to faithfully submit to you in all things. We ask this in your precious name. And all God's saints would say, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.